Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Debit Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland. I'm Johnny Midas.
And I'm El Fumo.
And we smoke cigars.
We do.
And today we're getting drunk.
Yeah. It's not the Hot Box today. It's actually the Cool Box.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
You know what hot boxing is, right?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it's cool in here compared to... It's been hot. Like, this heat came out of nowhere.
I'm just checking, you know? Like...
I know what a hot box is. I mean, one of the cool kids, okay? I know what it means to hot box.
I mean, you're a West Coast liberal. I don't know about the cool
thing. Whoa! Damn, that's a reach.
Worst insult I can think of.
He's
a California Mexican.
So that was racist.
Totally. Oh my gosh, man, we've had a really interesting last couple of weeks, dude, but so good. Like, there's some great stuff happening with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this show is about. This show is about smoking cigars with friends and for friends. And today we've got something that's kind of cool, and that is the Year of the Snake Bottle Rocket.
Bottle Rocket by Punch.
So great presentation. We cut and light, we always admire the cigar. The only thing I don't like about the presentation is, oh my God, what a gorgeous wrapper.
Yeah.
Like, once you take the plastic and stuff off, like, this is a really, like, this is a Mexican San Andres Negro wrapper.
Yeah.
Little toothy, just fuck, like, Padron is what it looks like. Like a Padron Maduro.
I like the bottle rocket presentation.
There. It is cool, man. That's the extra step.
Like, that's pretty awesome.
Well, when I first saw these, I'm like, what is this, an El Septimo?
That's what I thought, too.
Like, I'm expecting it to be 900... inches long or whatever.
Yeah. What would that be? A 4.5? Well, no. A what? 14 by 50.
Well, I'm comparing it to things I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, like anatomy and stuff like that.
Sure.
Right. I would say that's 14 inches.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's not. They're only that long. So.
All right. Unwrapping.
I think the external presentation just fucking nails it.
Yeah.
And the cigar looks beautiful. I really like that.
It's toothy as shit.
Yeah.
I like the wrapper, man.
Ooh, look.
Or not the wrapper, the band, yeah.
It's not hard. That's cool.
That's a lie.
What do you mean? That's not hard.
You sure? That's pretty hard.
No, you can compress that without cracking the wrapper. That's not hard. You know?
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, so... That's how it looks. Let's go ahead and get these cut and lit.
Mm-hmm.
The official cutting brought to you by Lord Baltimore Cigars. The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do. All right, and as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority.
Sota.
No limp-wristed cutting allowed. And we are doing the hand job. By the way, if you want to know how this improves the cigar smoking experience, put on a pair of, like, white linen gloves if you have them.
Yeah.
You could also use black gloves. There's more black than white gloves available. And then just tap that head of that cigar,
yeah,
and see how much shit ends up caught in the fabric.
Yep.
That was all going to go onto the tip of your tongue.
Yeah.
All right, so I got a nice clean cut. I noticed you had a really stiff cap on yours.
How'd that cut? It was like a weird double thing. It came pretty good.
Yeah, it looks good.
I'm curious to see if that starts unwrapping, though.
It probably will, like, if it sticks to your lip and you roll it the wrong way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it's going to affect your smoking experience much.
Don't look too bad.
Yeah, mine is really gorgeous. I wonder how strong this is. Well, let's find out.
Let's find out.
And to find out, we've got to light it.
Mm-hmm.
So, official lighting brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee.
Yeah.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us. And as always, we remind you to treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. Toasted, not roasted.
Toasted, not roasted.
Toasted, not roasted. Toasted, not roasted.
For all the people that missed it.
Yeah.
Or don't.
For the 17 people that emailed me, bring back Toasted, not roasted. And I'm like, it's in there every week. And they're like, no. The repetition. I'm like, oh. Yeah.
Where'd you even get that sound bite from?
I made it.
Oh, okay.
I literally took multiple people saying it and blended them together. Changed one to be slightly stereoscopic that way and one stereoscopic that way. So it sounds like you're in a crowd. That's why it sounds so cool.
It sounds kind of culty.
Yes, yes. You imagine, like, the guy in the black robe with, like, an upside-down cross around his neck or something?
Sounds like my regular...
Was that just me?
That sounds like my regular Friday night.
Yeah. Sounded like Friday night. Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me of the second Tuesday of every month.
We meet at the park by the tall oak tree.
Right.
For those wondering.
All right, so got these lit... And while we kind of burn it down a little bit and savor the flavor to share, let me go ahead and talk about this cigar a little bit. So we'll talk about this more in presentation, but the one thing that baffles me about this is the band is very special for this cigar,
mm-hmm.
Punchy or the Snake. But then when you look at the branding on the front, it literally has this little like badge here that says 2025 Year of the Snake, but mm-hmm. then... It says Bottle Rockets in big letters. There's special branding of like a 1950s style artwork rocket
yep.
with Punch from Punch.
Punch.
Doing like a peace dude symbol or something like that. And it doesn't carry over to the band at all. So I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I just don't know what they were thinking. Like, because they put graphic design effort into that.
Yeah. What was that movie? Dr. Strangelove? Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it was? riding the...
It kind of looks like, and his rocket's red glare going off in the air.
Yeah. Dr. Strangelove riding the bomb.
Yeah. But anyway, this is a 4.5x50. They call it a torpedo. It's not a torpedo. It is a bellicoso with a parejo foot. The end.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
It's Tex. I think we've killed that horse 20 times over, the taxonomy.
Completely. Okay, so the beauty of this cigar is it retails here at Davita Cigar Westminster for $7.99, so $8, which today is a phenomenal good. Price. There's not a lot of cigars at $8.
Dude, for a limited on top of that?
Sort of. The thing with Punch is they just go limited to limited to limited, so they're devaluing themselves. It's mm-hmm. like first it's the bento box, then it's, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a small core line and they continuously churn special editions,
yeah,
limited editions, whatever. And they're not, you know, these are not limited edition Opus X's.
Yeah,
right. You're not buying it because it's special collect. I don't think. Now I do buy all their new special editions just because I want to try something new. I smoke so many fucking cigars, you know. All right, so. Wrapper is Mexican San Andres Negro. What is the binder?
The binder is Nicaraguan Esteli. One binder only.
Okay, and then filler?
The filler, give me 1 second. It was a mouthful. So the filler is a Dominican Piloto Cuban, which is what they called it.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and finish, then I'll explain that.
So Nicaraguan Esteli, Dominican Piloto Cubano, Honduran Yamastrian, Nicaraguan Condega.
Ooh, so Condega's four. In here. That's kind of the sweetest of the regions, I think.
So you have four different fillers, and then which the Piloto would be the hybrid.
Sort of.
Sort of.
So that is a great foundation for our topic tonight, which is filler tobacco. What role does it play? How is it selected? What is the physics, the actual physicality for the cigar, et cetera, et cetera. And so this one has four fillers, which is high for a cigar. And of course, it's new, so it's a great pairing with that topic, right?
Yep.
So, as usual, there is a gap between the marketing and branding and reality.
Yep.
And so we can't say with specificity about the, is it Dominican, Cuban piloto?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But here's what it is supposed to mean. Piloto is local tobacco, right? Like indigenous, right? Cuban piloto is the tobacco from Cuba. The Dominican is they took seeds from Cuban piloto and replanted it in Dominican Republic. Having said that, any fucking real actual thing is possible here. So, for example, somebody could have smuggled Cuban seed 60 fucking years ago out, and it's been growing in the Dominican Republic for half a century. And technically you could call it that. But at that point, because sun and soil determine ultimately what a cigar leaf, cigar plant becomes, it has no similarity left to Cuban piloto. So I think my favorite story about this, we talked about this during the Cameroon episode, which I should say that in a French accent, shouldn't I?
Cameroon.
Because, yeah, they're French. Or
yeah, they speak French. They're speak not French. French. They speak French because they got colonized.
Whatever. No, they didn't get colonized by the French.
It was the Dutch.
Exactly.
Yeah. The but French they mostly spoke French.
The French is because Germany controlled all of the import-export stuff, farming, and after World War I, as part of reparations, they gave it to the French. And, of course, everyone ends up... there's a reason they call it the lingua franca.
Mm-hmm.
You always end up, your dominant language is the one that gets you money.
Yeah.
You know? Today, half of fucking China also speaks English.
Anglais.
Yeah. L'anglais. Je ne comprends pas le français. Parlez-vous l'anglais. Anyway, so what we learned was the Dutch took Indonesian tobacco, which I fucking hate, planted it in Cameroon, and suddenly it's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Although... not suddenly. It was carefully cultivated. It'd be amazing.
You gotta give it to the Dutch, though, for being fucking, like...
entrepreneurial.
Yeah. Fuck. Mercantile. Whatever.
Yeah. San Andres Negro, like this rapper. Guess what it was? Dutch Indonesian seed.
Ugh.
I mean, Indonesian seed brought there by the Dutch. Oh. Dominican Sumatra. By the way, Indonesian and Sumatra is the same thing.
Yeah.
So Sumatra is what they called Indonesia back during the colonial era. And the main reason that we started calling it Indonesian is because of the connotations of calling it Sumatra. You know, it would be like calling Myanmar Burma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it wasn't until like a few weeks ago, literally, I didn't know. No, maybe a month ago. India's actual name during colonial times was Hindustan?
Hindustan.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they literally took our suffix for... region, nation, country, and added it to Hindi. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they did. They named their own stuff. Today, it's considered rude to, for example, call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. It's just considered rude.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't do that. You know?
Yeah. There's marketing reasons for that.
Right. Do you know what's on the other side of Mexico?
What do you mean?
So the right is the Gulf of Mexico. You know what's on the left?
Yeah, the Pacific.
No. There's the Baja Isthmus. So to the left of Mexico is actually the Gulf of California. So I feel like Mexico has an awesome opportunity to be a troll here.
You call it the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. Okay, you can have the Gulf of America. Well, we get the Gulf of Mexico.
Real quick, before everybody gets a panic.
You can have it. California's not really part of this country anyway.
Yeah. No, but for real though, because everybody got their panties in a bunch. I mean, one of the main reasons it got called the Gulf of America is for the mineral, the oil rights and shit like that. Mm-hmm. It's just drilling. Everybody chill the fuck out. Like, you want cheap gas? Let's fucking do it.
I don't associate chilling out with some politicians. I'm not going to mention anybody by name, but there's a few. Some people have said, not everybody, some people, it wasn't me. Some people have said, a little high strung, not really chill, likes to take things that should rightly belong to us. Okay, I'm done.
You sound like Dr. Evil.
Dude, I can't do... Whatever. You know what? You didn't even try. You can't judge me. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a beautiful ocean. No, I can't do it. That was terrible. Was that good? Yeah.
That was pretty good. It sort of sounded like what it would sound like if...
Very fine people. I don't know.
Kind of like if Macron fucked a Mexican. That's kind of funny.
Wow, that's weird.
That's what you sound like.
Ugh.
All right, enough fucking around. Yeah. That's the best parts of this show is the fucking around.
Yeah.
But, why don't we get serious? Because we have smoked. I smoked about 3/8 of an inch, or maybe closer to a half.
Yeah.
Give me your tasting notes.
All right. So I'm getting some baking spices. Definitely not what they described, which is weird. I'm not getting spicy.
I'm not getting anything yet.
Yeah. So there's like a weird licorice taste to it.
There is definitely licorice. One of the things I like to do is read a manufacturer's description of a cigar, because that points my brain in that direction.
Yeah, I did, and it's not going that direction.
Exactly. So if I smoke it and I'm like, this doesn't taste like that, it doesn't taste like that.
It doesn't. It doesn't. This is like a weird nutmegish licorice.
So I have a fairly strong baking soda. Do you taste that too? Strong enough to notice anyway.
Arm & Hammer baking soda?
Yeah. But not the box that's been sitting in the back of my freezer for 2 years. a fresh one.
Does anybody even do that anymore?
Well, I do.
Oh.
How else would you deodorize your freezer?
I don't know.
Put a fucking Yankee candle in there?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, what I've got is...
Yeah, I just got those two notes so far.
Yeah, I definitely have the Mexican San Andres wrapper taste. You know how it has that, like, mineral earth...
Yeah,
flavor
a little bit.
So I've got that. And that's probably a better description than baking soda. But I've got that. There's definitely pepper in there. But you can get a fucking like Perdomo Habano.
Yeah, I would
Maduro, and it's spicier.
Call this simple to mid.
Yeah, right now I would say simple to mid. Like there's two or three flavors, so that's on the verge of becoming mid.
There's something else there at the end of the nostril.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking it's kind of like burning wood.
By the way, this does not taste or smell like burning firecracker at all.
Or bottle rocket.
This is bullshit.
Yeah, what you can do if you really want a good like flavor comparo, you know, in Pennsylvania you can buy fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So next 4th of July, smoke one of these and then smoke a bottle rocket.
Yeah.
And they're not the same.
Oh, I have plenty of bottle rockets right now.
Yeah. So just smoke them side by side, see what happens. Pay mids, high tops. Pay fids, high drops. We are not alike. Anyway, just make sure you have health insurance. By the way, we're not condoning smoking fireworks.
I do have
just so we're clear for the algorithm.
Maybe.
Yeah, and next we're going to move up to a Roman candle.
Shit, Lori's calling. He said shut up.
Oh, shit. All right, so those are the flavor notes, and then we stopped talking about body because it's just not the appropriate thing for cigars. And everybody that I've had talked to and our, you know, guests and listeners that have reached out, they're like, how do I even understand body? And I'm like, well, you know, and so I got into it, and I'm like, well, it's really a combination of flavor profile and strength. So now we just talk about flavor, simple, which is 1 to 2 flavor notes the whole way through.
Yeah.
Mid, which is more than 2 flavor notes and like one drops in or drops out.
Yeah.
And then complex, where it's like, no, this is a flavor changing cigar.
Yep. Right?
By the way, that assessment has nothing to do with how awesome the cigar is.
Yeah.
For example, I have never smoked a Padron that was not simple.
Mm-hmm.
They might make them, but I haven't smoked them.
Yeah.
And there's some of my favorite Fuentes are mid.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the God's Whisper was fucking complex as hell, but like the Gran Reserva Natural, it's kind of like cinnamon toast all the way through. You know, there's just some very slight flavor changes. So don't confuse complexity with excellence. Just not true.
Don't do it.
Yeah. It could be more enjoyable for you.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not. It doesn't determine excellence. And then we assess strength on a 1 to 10 scale with decimals, because that's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
That's an That's an inside industry joke, but yeah, we don't do whole numbers only. So I've actually only got like a 6 on this.
Really? I got a 5.
Yeah, I can absolutely see a 5.
Yeah.
I was thinking 5 or 6. I'm like, well, there's some pepper. I'll give it a 6. So where we're at is simple to mid, 5 to 6.
Yeah, ash is cool, though.
Which, if I was converting that to traditional cigar speak, right, we would say, oh, this is a mid-full body. Yeah, the ash is awesome. That's good tobacco, man. That's rolled well.
Yeah.
By the way, on construction, you have that little flap.
Yeah, I still got that flap.
Yeah, just lick it back down.
I'm trying.
So far, that's the only issue we've had.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to socials and surprises for all of you guys listening out there right next to the Golden Hand of Destiny. You can see 2 products. One is this Burnline Podcast 2-Tone Coffee Mug Team El Fumo.
Yeah.
I got 2 of these left.
Ooh.
And this is the Burnline Podcast 2-Tone Shot Glass.
Sake glass.
I've got 2 of these as well. So here's the deal. I'm only mentioning this on YouTube because I want to reward our video watchers. I guess I could do that on Spotify too. So Spotify or YouTube. You're the only one seeing. I'm not putting this on social media.
I guess.
If you are watching this, the first 2 people that reach out for the mug, I'll send a mug.
You must be over 21, though.
You must be over 21.
That is a requirement.
We will validate that by your profile. And the first 2 to reach out about the shot glass, I will send you a shot glass. So I want to do something a little special for you guys that are, you know, sort of like disciplined video watchers, because it helps us. It helps the algorithm. And if you like what we do here and what we contribute to the hobby and the industry, that's how you can help us. You know, so what I'm getting in return is validation that people are listening this long into the show. So while we're on the subject, please like, subscribe, share, and comment if possible down at the bottom of Spotify. If you click on the episode and scroll all the way down, there is a what was smoking about this show. Apologies to Jim Carrey. You are our marketing plan. We cannot do this without you. It is very difficult. In fact, Real Smoke Podcast just got shut off by Instagram. Just shut them off.
Yeah.
Didn't tell them why. There's no way to appeal it. And their account was shut down when they tried to log in.
Dude, I don't get it.
They're like, no, you can't.
So weird.
Well, they ended up getting a hold of somebody and reviewing it and getting it overturned, and they're back on Insta. But that is fucking bullshit you shouldn't have to put up to. But that's what we're fighting against. So if you like what we do for the industry, if you enjoy this, one of the best ways you can help us is to just click all the little fucking shit that's on the apps.
Yeah.
That is telling the algorithm, hey, more of this, right? While you're at it, please reach out. If you go down to the show description, there is a link to our Linktree, or you can just go to Linktree/Burnline Podcast, and you will see Drop Us a Line. That is connected to our Gmail account, which is burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Super easy to remember. But please communicate. We have had some of our best ideas and everything else from listener communication. We want this to be your show. This is a consumer advocacy show. We are trying to help you maximize your hobby, not waste money. And sometimes we'll smoke stuff with it. We know you're not going to smoke just because it's cool as shit, and you want to see it be smoked and evaluated. So there's probably not a lot of our listeners that have smoked the Alma Fuerte Ometepe.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking triple-digit cigar.
By the way, band test, it was a little tight getting off my finger, but once I got it.
It didn't stick to the wrapper.
No.
Sweet.
And it says, cut, light, puff, repeat.
Sweet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. What was it? Was it the Fu Manchu? Had, like, fortunes in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Bento Box, which is also in this series, very good. Those are some of the specials we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
we get a big kick out of it. So those are the socials and surprises. By the way, we don't have any social communication to share with you.
Nope.
So fix that. Send us a comment. Send us an email. Let's make America smoke again.
Oh, shit.
So let's read the marketing on the thing, and then we'll take a break, do our tobacconist tip of the week, and And we'll talk about filler tobacco.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what that lettering in the front is.
The
Ashan.
The, what do you call it? The calligraphy or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? It's a little American stylized. All right. So, the Punch Bottle Rockets, 2025 Year of the Snake. Ah, the Year of the Snake. A fascinating blend of wisdom, charm, and transformation. Now, Punch Cigars is taking that transformation to a whole new level with Bottle Rockets. Cigars that ignite your taste buds like a firework. Hopefully not really. I need to rethink my habits. Whether you're a seasoned Punch aficionado or a curious newcomer, this twist on tradition promises an explosive experience. That is a fucking metaphor. Don't freak out. Light up a Bottle Rocket and let the sparks fly. Again, not the most awesome metaphors, right, but okay. No side-by-side comparison tests with fireworks, please. So that's what's going on. And again, the only thing that is really, really clashes is that the band doesn't have any image or connection to the Bottle Rocket.
Yeah.
It is on a fucking stick.
Yep.
You know? Although I suppose it could be, I don't know, a firecracker or something. But
so that just means punch in Chinese.
Punch like.
Yeah.
Or like punch like.
No, like punch as in, like this name, punch.
Angel. A punch can be a tool to put holes in shit.
I know what
you mean. It can be to do physical harm to somebody else. It can be a drink. So which punch?
Physical punch.
But this isn't even named after a physical punch. This is named after Punch and Judy.
God.
Fourth definition. So you're saying that some lazy Anglo Googled translate punch into Chinese and just selected the first one. Oh, my God. All right, you lazy fucks on the marketing team. Did you get your shit together? Why am I fucking this
It's
up?
A pain in the ass to get it back in there.
Oh, this is probably good info for folks. So,
there's a cardboard divider in there.
Yeah, like what do you call... You know where, like, you have two squares, and one has vertical slots, and one has slots going up, one has slots going down, and you, like, fit them together. Sometimes you package glasses this way, like drinking glasses. It has that, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
It's like a...
It's just a partition, man.
Yeah, it's a grid partition.
Yeah.
So the reason I was having trouble putting those back in is that they have to go. Can you guys see that on camera?
Probably not.
They have to go in the thing. That's annoying as fuck. But it does definitely make the presentation better on the shelf.
Yep.
Because without that, they'd all be leaning over into a corner. So. All right. Wait. What were we doing?
Going to break.
Oh, is it break time?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. We will see you guys in a minute or two. Don't go away.
So I'm not necessarily going to lay out the steps, but how you can simplify it for yourself. So if you bought a, this is for like mostly a brand new listeners, or smokers, I should say. If you are buying a humidor and you don't know how to season your humidor, usually your local smoke shop can do it for you. If not, YouTube's a great source for it. For me, it's just like, I like to just spray down a humidor with water, clean water, usually a bottle of water. And then throw some 84s in there. Let it sit for maybe a week, 2 weeks. And then good to go. Start throwing sticks in there. But like I said,
you want my input?
Yeah.
So I never season my humidors.
Yeah.
I never do. Yeah. And the main reason why is there is a significant failure rate where you introduce mold.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if that shows up, it takes weeks for it to be visible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's already there. And if mold is not visible and you put your sticks in there and then you see the mold later, worse, it's on the bottom and you can't see it till you smoke all those cigars.
Right.
Right. You could have just wrecked a sizable investment. Mm-hmm. Humidors are not cheap. So what I do is I put Boveda packs in there, and I put the cigars in there. Mm-hmm. And every day I check it. If the Boveda pack is slightly crispy, even the slightest bit, I swap them out.
Yeah.
And doing it that way, the cigars actually do stay humid.
Yeah.
But within, usually it's like 2 weeks, it is seasoned.
Yeah.
It just takes longer.
Yep.
So that's what I do and usually recommend, because I've seen so many people just fuck it up.
Yeah, that's why I said my recommendation. Or, you can pay somebody to do it for right, you.
Or bring it to your local tobacconist and they'll do it for you.
Or unless you know somebody who knows how to do it.
Yeah, but take that with a grain of salt. If you said, hey, I know how to do this, Mr. Certified Retail Tobacconist, I'd be like, fucking do it. Great.
Yeah.
But if, you know, Bubba down the street's like, oh, yeah, I've been smoking cigars for 40 years, I can do it for you.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I mean, you know, how well you trust this person? Do they really know what they're talking about? When was the last time they cut their finger with an open-ended double guillotine cutter? You know, stuff like that. Yeah. Time for a manicure.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I love that tip. You know, just use your local tobacconist, even if they charge you. Most of them don't. It's like a marketing thing. Most of the shops I've been to, they will do it absolutely for free because they're like, you're going to buy cigars from us now.
Yeah.
You know? But even if I have to pay for it, just go that route. Or, if you can't, don't want to, whatever, you can use my method, which gets it seasoned, never introduces mold. You cannot get mold and mildew from a Boveda pack. Mm-hmm. It's not even water in there.
Yeah.
And you can do it that way, right? So I like your tip better, but if you can do it, don't do it, dude. It's too much of a risk, you know?
Yeah, my tip is better.
Yeah. Wait, what? Yeah, but mine's bigger. You heard it here, folks. First, folks, El Fumo's tip is better. But despite the wrinkles and birthmarks, mine is substantially larger. So, oh my God. It's so stupid. All right, so let's talk about filler. But before we do that, we have got to get some alcohol in me because I want to.
There's too much blood in his alcohol.
There's too much blood in my alcohol. So this is the Four Roses Small Batch Select, and I have a little secret for you.
Oh.
And for the listeners out there, that is not what this is. Here, grab that. That is what the base of this jungle juice is. That's why it's not full. What I did was, you know how they blend whiskeys?
Mm-hmm.
I blended bourbons. So this is the Four Roses Small Batch Select is a 104 proof, delicious bourbon. Then I added a few measures of Jefferson Ocean, which is the closest to scotch bourbon will ever taste like.
Okay.
And then on top of that, I added some Maker's Mark because it is, you know, a wheated bourbon that's sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
So I did experiment and taste it and remix it. So I want to see if this is any good, because if you want to add some fucking zing to your experience because you know what you like, start mixing your bourbons.
Yeah.
It's really fun, and you can end up with delicious, unique flavors. Or it tastes like ass, and I've done both.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, but...
Well, that's the whole point of experimenting with that.
All right, salut.
Slancha. It's not bad.
It's not bad. So you can taste a little of that iodine from the Jefferson Ocean.
It's a little hot on the tip of the tongue.
A lot of heat from the Four Roses.
Yeah.
And then sweet from the Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
So it's not a master blender yet, but it's not bad.
It doesn't burn on the way down. Smooth.
No, it doesn't. The heat on this is definitely like front of the mouth. Even the gums behind your front teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tip of your tongue, very, very noticeable
mm-hmm.
and unique. And you're right, it doesn't burn going down. Thank God it doesn't burn coming out of the nose either. It literally goes to the front of your mouth. So, but there you go. So basically what I went with was the savory slash bitter, the hot and strong, and the not hot sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of get all three of those. So there you go. Folks, if you want to try something cool, start blending your own whiskeys. And by the way, one of the super cool things you can do is you can buy a bottom shelf whiskey, like Evan Williams Bottled and Bond, which is great by itself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like $35 for the big bottle of that shit. But then you can mix it with a more expensive spirit of any type, like rum, completely change the flavor profile, or do what a lot of folks do and get a cask strength, 115, 120 proof, very nice, expensive bourbon, and just put a couple capfuls into the cheap whiskey, and what you end up with is pretty good bourbon for a really low price. I used to like mixing Angel's Envy with Four Roses. So regular Four Roses is very affordable and a decent bourbon. Back when I was doing this, a regular bottle of just yellow label Four Roses was $14.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
All right, so our special topic today is fillers. And this is a great cigar to smoke with that because it has four regions of filler, which are slightly ambiguous. But so we have Dominican Piloto Cubana. We have the wrapper is what?
San Andres.
San Andres. Sorry, I meant the binder.
Oh, Nicaraguan.
Esteli. Right?
Esteli.
And then the fillers are also Nicaraguan Esteli, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the wrapper and binder. Then you have Dominican, Esteli, Yamastrin, and Condega.
Condega.
Which is a super interesting blend.
Yeah.
So update on what we're smoking. Any changes in flavor for you?
Not really.
Yeah, I think I would call this a simple mid at this point.
Yeah, it's still simple mid.
Because there's like three flavors that haven't changed, and we say simple is one or two notes. Mm-hmm. And this is like two or three. So I would say simple mid. Dude, I fucking love this. I have the exact same one. This is the Vertigo Four Flame.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Apparently you can adjust pressure here?
Something like that.
Because isn't... I mean, that's the wheel, so...
Yeah, you can take the tank out with that.
Oh. So this is a lifetime cigar, even though it's fucking plastic and metal.
You mean lighter?
Yes. I do not own a lifetime cigar.
Yeah.
I typically own, like, two-day cigars. I don't buy them to practice self-control. Jesus fucking Christ. Yes, I'm going to save this cigar to share with my grandkids. Okay, that's true. I did buy a Trump cigar just for that. The Tubo, you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I want to show my grandkids, like, you remember this period in history? From history class, I was there.
Yeah.
Got this. No, but... what role does filler play? Now, here's the reason we're having this convo, right? The reason we're having the convo is ever since the Cubans basically developed the special process wrapper leaf, that's what we talk about.
Yeah.
Like, you walk into the humidor, here's a Padron or... Yeah, Padron, you know, natural. Here's a Padron Maduro. Or here's a Perdomo Habano Connecticut. Here's a Perdomo Habano Sungun. Here's a Perdomo Habano Maduro. Those are all wrappers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And we know cigars, and we always talk about it. And there's a reason for that, which is the wrapper provides, depending on who you're talking to, 75 to 85% of the flavor.
Yeah.
Right? And so, interestingly, the filler gets almost ignored.
Yeah.
But the filler is actually the most critical part of the cigar for overall consumption, right? And so the filler really fulfills three primary roles, right? The first one is to add tobacco content that is also affordable.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There have been some specialty cigars where they have, like, some special tobacco in there.
Yeah.
And it's fucking expensive. I'm trying to think. I know that, you know, like, the Triple Maduro, M81, Metallica.
Okay, M81, yeah.
Drew Estate.
The Blackened, yeah.
Yeah, that's Triple Maduro. Maduro is the finishing process, right?
Yeah.
The filler tobacco is cheap fucking tobacco compared to the binder and wrapper.
Right.
It has to be or you couldn't afford the cigar. But it did use the most expensive process to age it.
Yeah.
Well, if it was the same tobacco that's on the outside of that fucking cigar, that would be a $45 cigar. You know? So, a big part, a substantial part, probably the number one way that the filler affects your experience is it is there to add tobacco without breaking your wallet.
Yep.
The second major role for the filler is to allow the cigar to combust properly. Number one is definitely, how do I get enough tobacco in here for it to be worth your while smoking without breaking the bank or fucking up the flavor?
Yeah.
The second one is keeping the cigar lit and burning evenly. And so, you know, we call ourselves Burn Line Podcast. Well, a good burn line, good combustion, some of that is rolling. Most of it is tobacco choice.
Yeah.
Most of it is which leaves my eating, right? And what's the flavor difference between eighth priming and first priming? Big fucking difference, right? So not only does eighth priming not burn very well, it's fucking strong. It's right up there kissing the sun, right? So the third major role that the filler plays, much, much larger of a role than people give it credit for, is flavor.
Yeah.
So on this cigar, they didn't use tobacco from four regions to enhance the combustion. They didn't use it to add cost-effective tobacco. For fuck's sake, the cigar's only $8. Yeah. And that's in Maryland. Yeah, it's like Maryland. It's like $7 everywhere else, you know?
Yeah.
So sub-$8 cigar. They didn't use four regions to save money. God, no. Like, you're importing that shit, right?
Right.
And they didn't use it to improve combustion. Right? Wouldn't it be much easier to just take out the filler that won't burn? You know, it'd be cheaper, easier, right? No, it's for flavor. And so while we typically say, you know, the wrapper is 75 to 80% of the flavors, 75 to 85, the truth is the filler is the rest of that.
Yep.
You know, the other than a double binder, the binder is not adding much flavor. It is much more about, is this strong enough of a leaf to hold all this goodness in, you know, and will it regulate the combustion?
Yeah.
So, and also, does it stick around? Does it survive not having a wrapper? Because they roll cigars in a binder and stash those, boxes and boxes of them.
Yep.
And then wrap them as needed, so you have a fresh wrapper, right? Also, the tobacco leaves for wrappers are super expensive. I don't want to risk breaking these. They're sitting in my warehouse for 6 months now. You know what I mean? So that's just how the industry does it, for the most part. Those are really the three reasons filler exists, and I think in order of importance. And it does not get enough credit for flavor in the cigar world, I don't think.
Right.
So when you see a cigar with multiple regions in the filler, particularly more than two, it's on purpose, and it kind of affects the flavor. And you can sometimes think, like, oh, this is Esteli, you know, tobacco. It's going to be stronger and spicier.
Yep.
This is Cameroon in the filler. Okay, I'm expecting cinnamon graham crunch, you know, mid-bodied, little pepper, stuff like that. Right? So you can sort of assess cigars, and if there's more than one or two regions, it's probably for flavor, and it's probably enjoyable.
Yeah.
Depending on your palate. However, there's a limit that goes the other direction. Once you're beyond, like, three or four regions, that's marketing.
Yeah.
That's marketing hype, and it might be fucking shit. So I'm not calling anybody out, right? But the Alec Bradley Fine and Rare, sorry, dude. By the time you have that many regions in your filler, none of them stand out.
Right.
It might be fine, but, you know, the last couple, because I buy one every year, but no, like, it's actually not as good as most of the three or four fillers I've had. Even the Thunder Smoke Arcana, great cigar. That was, like, runner-up cigar of the year or something, or maybe in its category, but CAO knocked that one out of the park. It's like going on safari, and the filler is five regions of Africa.
Yeah.
Right. Great cigar. However, that's marketing. You don't need five fucking regions.
Yeah.
At that point, you're just swallowing each other up. So you can't isolate flavors, you know? So the number of regions that you have represented in your filler can also be an indicator of this might not be a great cigar, because this is marketing at this point. You know, ask Nick Perdomo.
Yeah.
How many regions does it take to produce a fucking amazing cigar? You know what he'll tell you?
Yeah.
One. Right? All their fields are in fucking Nicaragua.
It's SLE.
Yeah. It's not even just one country, which wouldn't be fair for Nicaragua. Yeah. It's one region, right? And he's not wrong.
Yeah, they're not just throwing random-ass tobacco in the filler.
Right, right. So there's definitely a cause or a reason to have two or three or even four regions. Like, I want the sweet and sour, I want the salty sour of Peru. And it's super strong, so it's got, like, one leaf of that.
Yeah.
You know, I want the, like, comforting, mellow, slightly sweet, you know, Dominican Habano. And I want the, you know, spicy snap of Nicaraguan Esteli. Whatever it is, there's reasons to do that. Once you get over, and some even three or four, but once you get, like, above four, it's just marketing, guys.
Yeah.
You know, it might make the cigar better, but that's not why you put it in there. Right. Like, it's so complex and expensive, you know, and hard to roll.
Yeah.
You're taking, like, half a leaf of this color, and you know what I mean? So, you do have to be aware on that side. Have you got to add, Mr. Certified Retail Tobacconist, on filler tobacco?
Well, pretty much the main job is just combustion, because you need something to burn. Mm-hmm. So, but like it, the second reason is flavor. What?
Okay. Let your cigar go out.
Okay.
Not cold, but go out and then take a draw. It is fucking delicious.
Hmm.
Which makes sense, because the cooler your cherry, right, the better something tastes. But try it, because this one is like dessert, dude.
Okay. I'll let it go. But yeah, that's the main reasons. And like I said, they're not throwing in random ass tobacco just to burn something, because you can have a shit combo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not going to be enjoyable. So, and like, the name filler is almost like a negative word when it comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're like, oh, filler, so it's just shit tobacco. No.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, that's just the filler tobacco. Nah, dude, like, it is super critical to the cigar.
Yeah.
And even when it comes to flavor, it plays a really big role in the cigar. Not as big as the wrapper.
Right.
But enough that if you clash that filler with that wrapper, you're fucked.
Yep.
It will never taste good. You can't make it work. And, you know, I've had several cigars like that. Can you think of one? You don't have to say, you know, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but yeah, you smoke cigars like that, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like the individual flavor of the wrapper, filler, together. Oh my fucking God. What did somebody put tuna fish and jello? What is this? 1970s, you know?
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Gross.
Dude, never mind. I'm not even going to go there. Like, I think everybody was fucking PTSD after World War II.
Yeah.
I'm like, who in their fucking right mind would put cranberries in tuna in unflavored jello with cottage cheese on top? Are you fucking broken? Like,
never
who?
Never heard of that. Ugh. That was
just
a thing?
Yes, just Google, like, 1970s jello recipes. And you'll be just, like, you will literally be like, okay, someone's trolling. This was never real. It couldn't be. No one's that fucking stupid, you know. Yeah, Betty Crocker home cooking. Tuna jello salad. You know, it's like, oh my God, what broke?
I'm good. I'm good.
I guess we were really fucking poor, because a can of tuna and a fucking unflavored jello, that's like 2 cents, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we get protein and collagen. Nope. I will die of starvation.
Oh, God.
Let's go to break. Don't forget about your Team El Fumo two-tone coffee mug or Burnline Podcast shot glasses.
Sake cups.
I'll send it to you for free. Let's go to break. When we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week and then rank this Punch 2025 Year of the Snake Bottle Rocket. 4.5 by 50.
Yeah.
Keep your dial locked in to the dulcet tones of Johnny Midas on Burnline Podcast. Star News of the Week with Angel Solorio. All
right. So, La Gloria Cubana 35th anniversary will celebrate 35 years of La Casa Cubana.
I'm so glad they explained that to us.
Yeah, like,
so
come on.
For a minute there.
So, right, I think they just wrapped up, no. They're on day two of the Havana Festival. Like,
it's the 35th. We're celebrating our 17th birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, no shit. It's the 35th anniversary. All right, yes, the Havana Festival. By the way, check us out on Instagram. I don't know if it's still available, but I pinned my story for a little bit. What did she call herself? Habano Cigar Girl?
I have no idea.
Anyway, she had an open invite to connect with her and her friends if you're going to Cuba for that. But great account.
Which, by the way, there's a lot of Americans there. How the fuck did they get there?
You just fly to Mexico first. Half of the fucking attendees are American.
Yeah, I know. But even flying to Mexico, you still...
Still what?
That you can fly over to Cuba.
No. I'm pretty sure that Cuba has to issue you a visa since because of relations. But, I mean, I can get online and just do a round trip to Cuba. I don't have to specify anything. The airline will automatically have a one stop in Mexico because now it's legal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways,
But the account I'm talking about is a Cuban woman that, it's all cigar-related stuff. And especially if you like Cuban cigars, because that's what she's smoking, I think she has got a great account with really frequent content, and she rotates sticks a lot. It's not like I'm always smoking a fucking H. Upman or something.
Yeah.
So, free advertising there. You can pay me later. Go ahead.
All right. So the cigar is offered in this is very specific, 7 1/10 inch. It's a weird way to say that.
Okay. You keep going. I'm going to Google what that converts to in millimeters.
180.
Okay, that makes sense, though.
Yeah, but it was like, that sounds like. And it's a 47 ring gauge, 35 cigars in a humidor, 750 humidor. So you can buy the humidors. It does not say how much the humidor is, but it is a limited. That's a pretty cool looking humidor, though. Looks like a pod.
It is cool. I think it looks a little too, like, space age industrial.
That's what I'm saying.
A little too Star Wars. Almost,
yeah.
You know. All right, so just to clarify for our listeners, is that La Gloria Cubana the American brand or La Gloria Cubana the actual Cuban brand?
No, it's DSA. Sorry.
So this is Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can't get this in
Cuban.
Well, I shouldn't say that. You're not supposed to get these in the U.S. But, all right, so what else have we got?
All right.
If you say anything political, I swear to God.
So in political news, by the way.
Oh, fuck. Really?
No.
Wait till I'm drink a little
joking.
More. No, go ahead.
All right, so since we're talking about Havana Cese, I sent this to you last night.
From Reuters? Yeah.
Yeah, but this is some, not Reuters, but yeah. Havana Cese reports a $827 revenue.
$827
million? Yeah, $827 million revenue. Yeah.
So just shy of a billion.
Yeah, for 2024, which is a 15% increase from the year before. Part of the reason is that, like, their sales in Asia are booming, which, for those who don't know, that China heavily invested in
Havana Cese. Yeah.
For political reasons.
Yeah, but let me, well, I'm not sure anymore. Most of what the Communist Party's doing these days is trying to gain wealth and influence.
Does China call themselves Communist Party? Yeah, they do.
CCP.
Yeah.
No, but I don't think that is an accurate assessment. I don't know which article you're sending me, but I don't think that's an accurate assessment. And the reason I say that is their capacity over the last 5 years has decreased by 30%. So I don't think it has to do with more market. I think it has to do with their recovering from... I don't know if you remember Cohiba. Mm-hmm. One of like their two barns burned down, and then they had...
I think
three
I
hurricanes in the last 5 years. All of their level two roll, they have, I think they're down to 12 level three rollers.
Hmm.
And of course, the homestead or whatever you want to call it that produces Cohiba, the factory, and the fields, like they make more than Cohiba there.
Yeah.
Right. So,
all right. So, Harvin Solomon releasing the High 12 cigar, so a new cigar to their. I'm pretty sure this is a core line. So, this is paying tribute to J. Eugene Margoff, the current Grand Master of New Jersey.
Oh, I know who that is.
Do you?
Yeah.
Cool. So this is going to be a 6x52 Toro that uses a Ecuadorian Criollo wrapper over an Indonesian Sumatra seed binder and fillers from the DR. And
did you know that the New Jersey Scottish Rite
mm-hmm.
will now put you through the Scottish Rite degrees online?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, you can join the Scottish Rite as long as you're a Blue Lodge member already and have a paid-up dues card.
Yeah.
You can actually join them and take the degrees online. And sort of how that evolved a little bit was during COVID.
Yeah.
And it was like, we have to come up with a solution. Now, if you want to know how awesome the tech is, you know Tony Robbins?
Yeah.
Famous for his in-person events, 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. He had to learn during COVID, how can I translate this experience into a phone app?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool because, like, while he's doing it, if you shake your phone, it generates to everybody online clapping. And so you can physically clap while you're engaged in this. Like, he really captured what the actual essence is. Anyway, so we developed a lot of tech through COVID to engage people on video. And then it's like, well, we're not isolated anymore. But why not keep doing this? It's just more convenient and, you know, all of that. So that's pretty cool. All right. So it's named after the Grand Master of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of Hiram and Solomon. What do you think?
I like them. There's a couple that I like.
Yeah, there's. I think
they're. And they're hard to get, like in store.
The exclusive, like the cool factor is real. What is this? Like, what is this one made of? What does it cost?
Oh, it's $16 MSRP. Criollo wrapper over an Indonesian Sumatra seed binder and fillers from the DR. And it's made in the PDR Dominican Republic factory.
Yeah, that sounds like a great wrapper. Like Ecuadorian Criollo is one of my favorites.
Take
it's
your shot.
Delicious. It's not as delicious as Ecuadorian Carojo,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I don't know if I can say that. But I just think that the Criollo is my favorite wrapper, but not the Dominican version.
Yeah.
I think the Dominican Carojo is actually better. That's just my flavor palette. And then the overall blend does not sound very tasty, to be honest with you. And then that seems typical for Hiram and Solomon, where, like, I'm looking at Fuentes, I'm looking at Plasencias, but this is, you know, not on par with that. So they're not a great value smoke, but they're cool as shit, especially if you're a traveling man. You know? all right, so what else have you got for us today?
And then, Gurkha releases a new stick called the Fat Boy.
Harley Davidson is suing them.
Yeah, probably.
Wouldn't that be fucking justice?
And then there's Fat Boy ice cream sandwiches.
Is there?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I'm not a fat boy and I don't eat ice cream sandwiches.
So, it's a bigger cigar, obviously, because apparently the fans have been asking for a larger ring gauge. The fact that they have fans is surprising enough.
Well, so, I gotta be honest with you. Gurkha got a real black eye in the industry for suing
Davidoff, yeah.
Because there are times to notify somebody, hey, this is your legal notice, cease and desist notice, you're infringing on our trademark. You remember Deadwood? That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that was...
They literally sold the fucking...
Name.
Cigar
mm-hmm.
and naming rights to Drew Estate, and it was the name of the tobacconist that sold them. Like, this was a house blend for them. And they named it Deadwood because they're called, like, the Deadwood Cigar Shop. And so they sold the rights to Drew Estate, and then they came out with a new house cigar called the Deadwood.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Estate is like, no. I didn't spend millions of dollars for you to fuck me, right? Well, the entire cigar industry was like, yeah, no, you got to play fair. You know, Drew Estate is in the right here, you know. But when Gurkha sued Davidoff, it's like, first of all, they responded to your cease and desist with a, no one's confusing our cigars. No shit.
Yeah.
Who's gonna fucking confuse a Davidoff for a Gurkha? I mean, Jesus. You know?
Right.
That's like confusing a Fuente with an acid.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna happen, you know? And so, the actual industry has been shitting all over Gurkha for that choice.
Yeah.
They're like, you're tearing the industry down. This is unnecessary. It's a waste, whatever.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I don't like Gurkha. I think most of their cigars are hot shit, but also, no, I disagree with your business choices.
Yeah.
You don't need to be fucking tearing down the cigar industry. Everyone's already doing that.
Yeah.
And then you don't have any real claim to the branding, right? Because it's fucking year of. Like, Davidoff's been doing that for a decade and a half or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So everybody has.
They should be suing you.
Yeah.
You know?
Alright, so the blend features an undisclosed Habano wrapper over an undisclosed binder and filler, so...
Oh, did you try your cigar after it?
No, not yet.
Kind of went out.
But yeah, it's 4x60, 5x66, and 6x66.
Oh, I was unclear earlier. I don't give a shit about this cigar. So what else have we got?
Yeah.
What else have we got on the news?
So I remember when, why did I forget his name already? But anyways, Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust is finally...
Steve Saka
is finally shipping the Sobremesa Solita Red. Remember he was talking about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Sobremesa is a great cigar. So there's two of them right now, right?
Yeah.
One has a slightly darker wrapper.
Yep. So it's going to be a 6.25x46 Gran Corona with a blend that is described stronger. Ooh.
Okay. All right, I'm totally...
Yeah, because he said that. Yeah, that was something he was like, this is going to be my strongest cigar.
Yeah, because... Well... It appeals to me because the only thing I don't like about the Sobremesa is it's too light.
Mm-hmm.
I like to feel a little bit of a boxing match going on with my tonsils. Not a ton, but enough. And the Sobremesa is so fucking delicious.
Yeah, so it's a Dark Rosado Grade 1 Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, a Mexican San Andres Negro binder, a filler that includes 4 varietals of Nicaraguan tobacco, and a filler from PA, which he's been using a lot of Pennsylvania tobacco.
Well, you remember, that's why... what's his name was up here when he did his last event, DBL, what's his name,
Francisco.
I'm just having a brain fart, but we're best friends. We're on each other's like favorites, contacts. We go to the spa together, so I'm just kidding. Alright, so you gotta drink up, dude.
Yeah.
Oh. You said Ecuadorian Habano.
Drink up.
I'm not going to lie, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
I think I did good for a fucking rookie.
Yep. And speaking of Davidoff is expanding its Dominican factory to double production capacity.
Ooh.
So they added a 1,700 square meter. That's more than square feet. So that's another cheeseburger and a half for those American listeners.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, that's 3 bald eagles and cheeseburger. Yeah. All right, let me convert that while you finish reading.
Okay, so Davidoff has announced that it has completed a series of expansions to its Dominican facilities that will allow for more production. 18,298 square feet. And so they've also got more storage.
18,300 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not big. Like, you know, our building, including the front office, is like 60,000.
Mm-hmm.
So this is roughly like the cutting side.
Mm-hmm.
The building is about that big.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a lot of space for a cigar factory.
Yeah, so they also updated and made their cafeteria larger, which is important,
mm-hmm.
to support their staff, made it easier for them to access the facility. So, I mean, they really did some fucking work there.
Dude, I worked at this one factory in Texas, and I'm not going to call them out despite the fact that they are fucking shitbags and the CEO is now in jail.
Ooh.
They had 2 time clocks, 500 employees.
Mm-hmm.
During lunch, which you had to clock out for.
Okay.
Which is stupid. Just auto-do it.
Yeah, just...
They waited in line so long to clock out for lunch at the 2 time clocks that some of them were not going to lunch until it was like 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
We're talking 20, 25 minutes of line.
That's so stupid.
Well, you know what? Of course, what it led to? Everyone knocks off early and, you know, like goes to the bathroom to be as close as possible without getting in trouble. You know, so it's counterproductive. And then the break room only fit about 1/4 of the employees that were on lunch at a time. And I'm like, so, you know, I was running it for them, but I worked for a different company. And I told them, I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. Why do you hate your team members? And our liaison, so I was working for a company that was running the business for another company.
Mm-hmm.
And that other company, which I'm also not going to mention, but they're like, we approved up to $30,000 in expenses 3 years ago to renovate your break room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you fucking cocksuckers. Like, this is a chance to freely upgrade to where you're serving your team and you haven't even taken advantage of it. You know, like, you're a piece of shit. Why am I off on that tangent? All right. So, but they're taking care of the employees too, so they're expanding that.
Well, yeah, man. If your team's not happy, they're not going to produce.
No shit.
Like, that's just basic, man.
I'm like, so I have this theory, and I've told people, and they're like, holy shit, you're right. But my theory on business management is a loving, kind people person and a sociopath will always make the same decision. Because the right decision is what makes you more profitable.
Yeah.
It's what makes you successful. And so you might have a sociopath that doesn't give a fuck about their employees, but happy cows give more milk. And they might not give a shit about the individual, but they're going to make their life better because happy cows give more milk.
Yeah.
And then you got the guy over here, he's like, I love you. I want to make your life better. They're actually doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's like when you don't do the right thing, you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
Because if you were smart, it wouldn't matter if you fucking hated people. You're actually going to make the same decision as the person that cares about people.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, you're a bad person, you don't like people. No, it's that you're fucking stupid.
Yeah. Kind of like the company we were associated with that sees their employees as one of their worst expenses.
I'm like, okay, so you want to harvest an acre of crops. Why the fuck are you complaining about the cost of the tractor?
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're a moron. You're just foolish. You know? Or even, like, you know how there's just a mess around people? People are people. You've got stuff to deal with. It's people issues. And there can be a mess around people. There can be a physical mess. But there can also just be relational, ego, whatever. King Solomon, speaking of Hiram and Solomon, King Solomon wrote, where there are no oxen, the barn is empty. It's very difficult to translate from Hebrew because the word for empty can mean clean or empty. We don't have a word that corresponds in English.
Yeah.
But what was he saying? He was saying, if you don't have oxen, your barn is clean and empty. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you want the grain, you have to take the shit and clean the stalls out for the oxen. This is, you know, what Solomon's wisdom was famous for, is like taking super common sense stuff and just reminding us, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah.
You know? And so I've always looked at it that way. Like, if I'm having a problem with an employee, I'm like, I can't fucking complain about that and then also accept all the value they're bringing to the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's obviously lines both directions. If you're not bringing enough value, then you'll get replaced.
Yeah.
And if you're not listening about your mess and working on stuff, you're probably going to get replaced, right? But,
yeah, it's just weird that companies, is like, their biggest bitch is like, oh, I have to, one of my expenses is my employees. I have to pay people.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the ones that are paying you?
The ones that are making you money. Yeah. And it's fucking ridiculous. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that's been a working theory convo I've had for a while. And every time I go through it, people are like, holy shit, you're right. Like, you can be a complete people hater and a complete people lover and make the same decision if you have a reasonable brain capacity.
Yeah.
And so when I've got bosses and leaders and stuff either above me or in my command and they're treating people poorly, I'm like, this is not a character. It might be partially a character issue. This is a fucking intellectual issue. You're not smart enough to make the right decision, or your ego's too big, which is more common.
Yeah.
Like, I actually know this is the wrong decision, but I can't stand not being right or not being in control, or something like that. I can't make mistakes. I'm a director. People have to respect me. Yeah, well, you know they will if you're not a retard. You know?
Like, dude, fucking, which is kind of weird at the time, but Henry the First, Second, and Third were all like, my employees make my fucking money. They make my cars. Like, I need them.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons that Henry, who admittedly, looking back, had some psychology issues.
Yeah, but
he was furious when they voted to unionize because he was paying them double union employee wages.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're just, stabbing me in the back, basically.
Yeah.
What do you have to negotiate for? Less money? yeah, we'll put you union wages.
Yeah.
Which is half of what you're making.
Right.
You know? Anyway, you are correct. Like, they had the start of that company had a very strong appreciation for the people that were making them wealthy. Partly because they came out of nothing. And part one of the reasons it went away is successive generations were born into more and more affluence.
Yeah.
Where they took it for granted. But Henry was, he was a blue-collar dude that figured out a new way
to find it hilarious when people with the wrong ideology, I'm just going to leave it at that one, with the wrong ideology are like, well, thank Henry Ford for the 40-hour work week. I'm like, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Thank him for the 40-hour work week.
By the way, he instituted that before they were unionized.
Right.
So, you know, like, don't give me that crap. You got nothing to do.
Did you actually do your research? Like, people are working 80 hours a week.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the biggest hindrance I have seen in 20-somethings that I hire and elsewhere, the biggest hindrance to them getting wealthy is they have a completely fucked up view on work.
Yeah.
I'm like, you work a 40-hour work week and then you have 2 days off. You're unmarried. You have no kids. Find a fucking Saturday job.
Yeah.
I mean, you can increase your wealth by $400 or $500 a month just by adding that day. You don't need fucking 2 days off. You just don't need it. You're single.
Yeah.
And also you live at home. You know? Like, what are you going to do? So, you know, I used to kind of frame that as being lazy. And now I frame it more as ignorant.
Yep.
Like, nobody let you know, hey, have you thought about this?
Mm-hmm.
You're spending money on a Netflix subscription and getting fat. You can do that 1 day a week. You know, that's enough.
Right.
That. Redeem the time on the other day. Or work on your side gig, something for you.
Yeah.
You know? And pathway to wealth. All right.
Well, anyway, that was it.
Yeah, we have got to rank this cigar. We're way over. So we are smoking the Punch 2025 Year of the Snake Bottle Rocket that has awesome branding on the outside of the canister and shitty branding on the band. There is no bottle rocket indicator other than it's got a fucking stick glued to the
side. Yeah, bottle rocket stick.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and rank this, and
I'm going to give it an A for presentation.
Presentation A, I agree. This is really, really, for an $8 cigar, this is a really good presentation. It's on brand, it's clever with the bottle rocket stick, the way that they divided the dividers so that no matter who grabs what cigar from where in the canister, the rest stand upright.
Yeah.
That was actually slightly brilliant. All right, so the next thing we talk about is construction. So I think we can take a point off for your little thing.
Yeah.
It did have a little trouble staying lit, but I think that's just because I'm talking my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
So nine?
Nine.
Yeah, I think nine for construction. By the way, did that affect your smoke?
No, it didn't actually, so we're good.
Yeah, I think nine is good then. So value or cost? $8. It's a small, 4.5 by 15.
Eight for an eight.
Eight?
For an eight.
Yeah. I can't hear you.
Eight for an eight.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I had picked an eight exactly for this cigar. It's a really good, but this is a delicious stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little small, but $8, less than $8 nowadays.
If we weren't talking, that's probably a half hour stick.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, so then we have flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Simple
to mid.
I agree, yeah, simple to me. But what's the ranking?
I'll give it a 7.
I think really, 7 is good, yeah.
It didn't really wow me either.
Yeah, no, I think 7 is good. Like, this is better than average.
Yeah.
It's actually a really good flavor, but it's not, you know, it's not a Plasencia.
Yeah.
You know? And that is weighted a little bit by value proposition. Like, for a sub-$8 cigar, good luck, you know, finding this level of flavor. So it's definitely above average. But if you took all cigars of all price ranges in, it's like 4.
Yep.
You know? So, all right, I like 7. I think that's a good one. And then experience. So, here's where I think the real strength of this stick lies. It is a delicious, you know, mid-strength stick that is, you can smoke this every day. It's affordable. It also means I might not do dog walking yard work.
You probably could do a dog walk.
I think you could. Yeah, absolutely.
The price is very approachable.
Price is approachable. Flavor is great.
It's not going to kick your ass.
I think it might if I were exercising. Yeah, if I'm walking a dog. Now, some kinds of yard work, sure. Fishing, absolutely. Yeah. Taking a walk, yeah. Just as long as I'm not fighting with a Rottweiler, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely shareable. People that have very limited cigar experience can smoke this without choking up.
Mm-hmm.
It's affordable enough. I can just give you one. You know, so it can absolutely be
a gift. It's not a wedding gift.
No, exactly. It's not a celebration. Occasion. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a special occasion. But it is a, oh, hey, buddy, here's a cigar.
You can celebrate Chinese New Year.
Yeah, you could. You could take the cello off but leave the stick on and lick it like a lollipop. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that you can do with this cigar. So, and then smoking it together with you, this is, to me, like the vibe, the energy,
yeah,
and the experience is like almost a party vibe, like a relax, have fun,
mm-hmm,
almost like a Gulf Shores vibe where it's like, hey, we're just fucking having fun. It's not like an expensive, fancy beach. It's like an approachable, affordable beach.
Yeah, you can smoke this while chilling on your yacht in the Gulf of America.
Yeah. Oh, my God. yeah, totally. So, actually, I've got an 8 for experience.
Yeah, I agree. 8's fine. Yeah,
I think it was it's limited, but it's limited towards accessibility and use as opposed to the other way. You know, like the Ometepe, it's like, what's the use case? 1.
Yeah.
You know, you can fucking enjoy the hell out of it, yep, or give it as a gift.
Yeah, wedding gift, definitely.
But you can't do anything else.
Or promotion gift, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we did presentation, mm-hmm, cost. What am I missing?
Flavor?
Construction. Presentation, construction, cost, flavor, and experience. What do you think it scored?
39?
47.
Holy shit.
This is our highest ranked cigar ever.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Like, this is a great value proposition.
Congratulations, Punch.
Yeah, congratulations, Punch. Not even, I wouldn't have even guessed that. Like, Punch was good sticks.
That's what I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, but they're not awesome. But nailed the fucking price. Nailed the quality, nailed the flavor,
yeah,
and it nailed the use case.
Yeah,
construction didn't nail, but I mean, come on, man.
Shit, you know? Dude, that actually blew me away.
Yeah, so I mean, the lowest score it got was a 7,
mm-hmm,
in every category. So, big shout out to Punch. Be sure to pick one of these up and try it.
Yeah, for that price, you can't not try it.
No, you can't. Swing on by to Davita Cigars. We are at the Westminster location on historic downtown Main Street,
mm-hmm,
799 in Maryland at Davidus, and give that a shot, man.
Yes.
This is a really
interesting
experience.
Give it a shot.
Not what I would have expected at the price point, even from Punch,
mm-hmm,
but they just fucking nailed this one, man.
Yeah, for real.
So that is all that we have got for you this week on Burnline Podcast. We appreciate you putting up with us, and we will see you again next week.